Today it's Sexplosion with Dr. Raj. And Dr. Raj, how are you, my brother? I understand that you're in a location where your fans can come see you.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Very good. Yes, we are at the coffee shop, Globe City Complex, Chase Village. So anyone who wants to come on down, they can do so. They can come and join us.
Live
show. Have some fun with us. Live show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Are the angels with you today also?
Angels, you all here? Yes, they are.
I've not seen them on the Zoom, so I'm asking.
They're trying to connect because we had a little...
Technical glitch.
Delay. No, delay because of the rain.
Oh, yes.
Getting here and trying to connect the equipment. But I am here, so...
Good.
That's an important part of it. This is what we need to read here. Let's get this here. Can we plug in? Can we plug it in? Okay, on the other side. Right, so... So, you ready for us?
Yeah, Lime, I'm ready for you, man. The show is yours.
So the weather, I have to ask you about the weather in Port of Spain because.
Well, it's kind of overcast and humid. You know, the sun trying to peek out, but it's overcast and very humid.
Well, in Chase Village, it's really nice. It's not that bad.
Okay.
It's gloomy.
Yes.
But you know, this is the weather for sex. This is the weather to.
This 20 is the weather toes. To have. 20 toes, no clothes, and plenty pose?
That's what it is? Oh, my God. I am happy to hear that we're not getting any feedback.
Nice.
But we need these. Did you pull it down from the join? On join? No, going to join. And the power 102. Right. Okay, they're almost there.
Okay. I'm standing by. Mm-hmm.
It went? So they will be sending you a request soon.
Good.
So we have had some questions and whatnot that come in to us. Mm-hmm. I know you'll be monitoring us from there.
Yeah.
Let me know if there's any calls that comes in on your end.
Okay.
Connected?
Yeah, they are connected now.
Okay, so you got the angels.
Yeah.
Right,
nice.
So they need to have their microphone in front of them and be ready to go.
Turn on the microphone.
Turn on your microphone, ladies.
Nice. Top. Unmute now. Nice. Great. Beautiful.
Hello, good afternoon.
Right. Hi, Angel.
We are here.
Angel 1, Into the Angel microphone. 2.
Good. So we're here. We're about to do our live. For live, we have a small audience that hopefully will build up in a while.
Good.
So anyone who wants to come on down, remember we are at the coffee shop. And the coffee shop is situated at Globe City Complex, Chase Village.
Great.
As soon as you come off the flyover, who's building on your left?
Oh,
heading west.
Yes, I know that place.
Globe City. You must know it. I'm sure you pass it almost every day.
Yeah, almost every day I pass there.
So while I'm waiting, I'm having a lovely cup of coffee that the hostess here has served us.
Okay, great.
Wish I could share a cup with you.
Yeah. Tell them I'll jump in for mine anytime.
Okay, I'll tell them that. So today's program, we're talking about relationship, and relationship is something that a lot of people have been asking questions. But before we do that, we have some questions that were sent in. You know, when we finish a program, normally we'll have persons sending in questions via WhatsApp, email, and other devices to get their question answered the following day on the program. But I know we have two advertisements. Well, how many advertisements do you have there? Okay, do the one. And then we go to the questions.
Rotten Sores Nationwide. Get up to 50% off recovery sale on selected items. Over 500 household items to choose from. Curtains, brand name sneakers, clothing, and much more. fall in love with us all over again. Rattan stores are located at Pennywise Plaza, Laramie, High Street, San Fernando, Cooper Main Road, Main Road, Chaguanas, Arima, Tunapuna, and Henry Street, Port of Spain.
Your mic's on.
Master Control.
Good.
Any echo? Was that clear enough?
Yeah, it's clear, nice. No echoes.
Very good.
Veronica, 65 San Fernando. Why do I have a high sex drive at my age? My partner says something is wrong with me. Help.
A sex drive has to do with the individual and their experiences, the changes that take place in their life
as they are developing, their hormone levels. There are a number of factors that affect your sex life, but what I've found is that once most women has gone through menopause, there is a liberalization that takes place within their mind and their body. That liberalization helps them to be more sexual or more sensual. Although sex may be a bit painful because of the thinning of the vaginal walls and they're not lubricating as they used to when they were younger or pre-menopause, but what happens, because a lot of women have gone through that process and gone through that whole thing with menopause, which is something that is not reversible in women. And I want to make that very clear, because if we talk about andropause, or with men, andropause is reversible. Menopause is not. But with women, because they have this drive, and they may have suppressed it for a number of reasons, and one of the main reasons is family life, having children, taking care of the home, husband working. When there's that transition into post-menopause and they don't have those challenges as raising children, taking care of the husband, he's going to work, he's now retired. What is there to do? And the body, because the hormones are a bit balanced, more balanced now than it was before, because if the woman is taking care of herself, she's healthy, you'll have that taking place. If the person has issues medically, they'll have a drop in their sex drive as opposed to a lift in their sex drive. Once there is the transition and the change taking place within the woman's body, you will not have that issue. And, of course, you'll have a healthier sex drive.
Stacy, 22 from La Perlta. I'm in a relationship for 2 years and the sex is great. But I am attracted to other women. What should I do?
How old is the person?
She's 23.
Attraction to the same sex with an individual has to do with their sexuality. If you are bisexual by nature or you are bi-curious, you'll have that attraction. You can't tell when that attraction will come about. Some women, they suppress it because they think that it's something that is dirty, something that they should not be doing, something that is not to their benefit, because of society, because of friendship, because of religion. They will not explore that. With women, it's easier to be bisexual as it is for men, because once a man has bisexual feeling, he thinks he's becoming gay. Women, not so much for a woman. Some women, or most women, understand that this is an attraction, this is a feeling, because they look at the woman body, and I've been told this a lot of times by women, that they look at the woman body and they see themselves. They see the sexiness of a woman. And sometimes that physical attraction comes about that they can be with a woman. But it does not mean to say that they're strictly bisexual or they want to go with a woman all the time. The sexual attraction is there. It's a visual attraction. Sometimes it's emotional, depending on the kind of bond that they have with the woman. But it's much different from a person being a lesbian as opposed to a bisexual attraction.
Darren, 31, Aruka. My girlfriend wants to give her a baby, but I am not ready. What do I do? That's how he put it.
To give
her a baby.
Give her a baby.
Yes.
Boy, he's going to buy it in a store.
That's how he puts it.
Well, sometimes women think that if they want to secure a relationship or tighten up a relationship or get the relationship, a bond with the relationship, they should get pregnant for the guy. So that is not necessarily true. You don't have to get pregnant for someone to remain in a relationship. But if she wants a baby for security in a relationship, that's the wrong way to go about it. It's better to have a solid relationship, develop that bond with the person, make sure that you are secure in your relationship before you venture into having a baby. It's like putting the cart before the horse if you want to have a baby first and then study the relationship. Is it a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship or something deeper?
Yeah, it looks like a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship because you say my girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay. Question number 4, Z. Should Z be sex every day? Because my husband wants to. What?
I didn't get that part.
That is what I put. Z-I. Should, I guess.
Should I
be having sex every day because my husband wants to?
Sex drive among men is determined by something called their hormones. Their drive, the libido comes about because of that. Some men think that they can have sex every day, but they are incapable of doing it because of other factors. If a person has andropause, for example, and that's something I spoke about before. Andropause, you can have andropause and want to have sex every day. It's like, you know, when a client comes to me and they filled out their form and they're sitting in front of me, I ask them, well, one of the questions you normally would ask is, how often do you have sex? And most men would say, I want to have sex every day. But that's not the question that is being asked. The question that is being asked is specific. How often do you have sex? Wanting to have sex every day and having sex every day is two different things. Most persons will tell you that they, especially if they want to have this macho image, they'll tell you that I would like to have sex every day. But are you capable of having sex every day? That's the question that should be asked. Now, with men, the younger you are, you have a higher sex drive and you have the ability to have sex more often. The older you become, you have challenges. If you have things like medical situation with the individual, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, you'll have challenges when it comes to your ability to have sex. If you experiencing a disconnect with your partner, that also prevents you from having sex often because there's a disconnect. So you might tell yourself, yes, I would like to have sex every day because I'm a man, I'm supposed to feel that and feel those things all the time. And even in conversation, you'll hear guys saying, well, you know, I could have sex every day. But it's the ability to have sex every day. And again, she will know her partner. She will know if he's capable of doing it. I'll tell you something. When a man have sex, he has to, well, most men will ejaculate and they'll tell you, that's it. And then they'll go to sleep. That's what you call your refractory period. When you ejaculate, there's a certain amount of time that it takes for you to get a second erection. The norm is 20 to 30 minutes. If you can get a second erection within 20 to 30 minutes, you have a normal refactoring period. If it takes longer than 20 to 30 minutes, and it takes you 2 hours, 3 hours, or a day to get a second erection, it means your refractory period is not very good. So if you have ejaculated, and 2 hours after or hour after you feel like having sex, that's all well and good. You feel like having sex, but you're not getting a proper erection. That means to say, it doesn't mean to say you have an erectile dysfunction. It just means to say your refractory period is longer. Some guys will tell you if they ejaculate today, they can have sex next day or 2 days after because their refactoring period is longer. Age is a factor when it comes to refactoring period. Now, you know, young men, 18 to 25, they can ejaculate and not lose their erection. They can have sex 2 and 3 times and it's easy for them. But the older you get, the more experience you have with things that are sexual, it also affects your ability to get a second erection quickly. That's why sometimes for older men, they need more stimulation mentally and physically to get that second erection to have sex. Or even to have sex regularly.
Rihanna, my boyfriend wants to try a threesome with me and one of my friends. I'm okay with it, but I'm not sure if my friend will be willing. How to get her to agree?
If your partner wants to have a threesome, first of all, you must be okay with it. The person must be okay with it. The third party, you can't just walk up to a person and say, hey, I want to have a threesome with you. Anything with sex has to be planted in a person's mind. For example, if you and your wife at home, or you and your girlfriend, and you want to introduce something new to your sex life, you don't talk about it when you're quarreling. You don't talk about it over breakfast. You have to have an intimate setting to plant that seed in the individual to get their mindset thinking about it. And when you plant the seed, you don't dig too much into it. You don't continue to ask them, well, you know, let me do it tomorrow. You plant the seed, let it germinate, let the person think about it. You bring it up in a setting where you're being amorous with your partner, where you are actually interacting with the person sexually, and that's where you bring it up again. Now, if the person doesn't carry on the conversation, what happens? They're shooting you down. So you just leave it alone and give the person time. So that is between you and your partner who is supposed to be close. Could you imagine what happens when a third party is involved? If you have a third party involved, first of all, you have to know the mindset of the individual. So you may have asked the person casually at some time about their understanding about sex, how open-minded they are, if they're open to threesomes and whatnot. And that is in casual conversation. And the person may have told you yes, just to get the conversation going or to give you the impression that they're all okay with it. A lot of people say they're open-minded until they have to be open-minded. When you want to get your partner involved, what you have to do is bring the conversation to the person. Ask the question, say, how do you feel about being in a threesome? And this is not old talk now. This is something very serious. So you let the person know that. So the person might ask you, with who? So, well, let's say me and my partner. If the person stopped to think, they haven't told you no. If the person blurts out right away, no, you have to let it rest. Once the person have stopped to give you, to think about it, they're actually contemplating whether they are willing to do it or not. If they say, maybe, give me some time, that's what you need to do. Give the person some time. Don't make it a rush job now, because if you go to rush the person, she may feel this is desperation, something wrong. I don't want to get involved in that. Or the person might be thinking, what if I get involved in a threesome with this couple? And I like it, the guy more than my friend. I might lose a friend. All these things go through a person when you ask them a question about something that is sexual. If the person is so open-minded that they don't mind and they understand that this is a one-off thing and this is something that I'm just going to go into it for the fun of it, it's much easier for the person to tell you yes.
Timothy from Arima. I lose my erection during sex. Can you fix that?
Losing? Did the person say old?
No, he didn't.
Losing erection during sex is a common factor with older men. And it's not the end of the world. Younger guys can maintain an erection because their testosterone is highest as they're younger. Their drive is much better. The excitement is there. So, with a younger person, just having the ability or having someone that they can have sex with is exciting enough. The more mature a person becomes, the more experiences the person have had having sex, you'll find that it's much more difficult to get that initial erection or to maintain the erection. Sometimes the stimulation by the woman is not enough to keep it going. So you may have to do things like verbal stimulation, talking, pillow talk. And I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about something sexual to stimulate the mind. Sometimes it may be the way you kiss the person, the way you touch the person. These are the things that are going to stimulate the person to have the erection all the time, or to maintain it, or even if you're losing it, to get it back. Everyone here has looked at porn. Have you ever noticed in a porn, if three guys are going to have sex with one woman, what the one guy is having sex with the woman, what the other two guys are doing? Always playing with their penis, rubbing the head, stimulating the head. Because the minute they take the hand off the head of the penis, or the penis will go down, because there's no stimulation. Although, when you're looking at sex, it's visually stimulating, but it's not enough, especially for a porn actor, because they're accustomed having sex with multiple women, they're accustomed having sex all the time, so it's difficult to maintain that erection all the time. When you are with your partner, let's say, for example, you're married, you're with someone 10, 15 years, 20 years, whatever the time, you know all the tricks. You know everything that the person can do. You know all the position. You know everything that she likes. She know everything that you like. But she may not be doing enough to stimulate you mentally and physically. So sometimes you may even have to tell the person, well, moan a little louder. Say something rude to me. Bring up a scenario and see how she reacts to it. And if you find there's compatibility sexually with you and your partner, once you start verbalizing, the person gets more stimulated, they get wetter. They become more aroused sexually. So no matter what, even if you're losing erection, they're so stimulated that whatever you're doing, it's enough for them.
David 47, Santa Cruz, great program. I love the angels. And can I have one of the angels to be with me and my wife?
You want me to answer that? Yeah, it says I can't answer that. I cannot answer that. You have to ask the angels directly. So what's the answer? Don't look at me. What's the answer to David? Yes or no?
I don't know. I don't know, David.
Well, that's the thing. If you want something like that, and I mean, he must be asking it in jest, but if you're serious about asking something like that, remember, to stimulate someone or to get them into that mood, you have to create the atmosphere for it. If you're interested in having a threesome with someone, again, you go to a quiet place, you may have a couple of drinks, and then you start talking about it, because the inhibition will be less in such an environment. Even inviting the person, like let's say you're accustomed with the person accustomed coming home by you, you can sit down, be comfortable, have no distractions, and you can discuss those things. If it's a stranger like David and his wife, right, you would like to meet with them, know who they are, before you venture even a yes or no or maybe. Because there must be some sort of chemistry to get into anything that is sexual. There are persons who can have sex for having sex sake, but they are in the minority. Right? They don't get that connection with the person. There's no long-term relationship. All it is something that is sexual. So, if the person feels that I could just have sex, enjoy myself, have an orgasm, break, do whatever it is, and I'm done with that, and I don't even need to see you tomorrow, that's all well and good. Some persons can do that. But the majority of women, they would like to have that chemistry with the person. And once there's chemistry with the person, for whatever reason, chemistry could be because of the way the person look, how the person smells, how the person speak, how the person treats you, or your observation of how the person treats someone else. Say, that man really treats that woman nice, but I wish he would treat me that way. Although there are some women who, for the time they see the guy is married, they say, I could teach she a lesson if I wanted him. There are many reasons why someone goes with someone else. But once you understand that there is something called chemistry that causes a reaction once you start to interact with the person, it makes it much easier.
I tried all kind of pills for a better erection, but I still have issues with the hardness.
that comes down to, again, the age factor. I think the largest grouping of individuals that I see is for erectile dysfunction, or ED. I think last week program, somebody asked the question about ED. Right. With erectile dysfunction, persons always want a quick fix. Why? It's an ego thing. If my penis is unable to function fully, I'm not a man. But no, it does. You don't have to write yourself off because your penis is not functioning properly. What you have to understand is that you can satisfy a woman in many different ways. For example, with your finger, with your tongue, with cuddling. So you don't need a penis all the time. Now, of course, the woman would like penetration at some time. But you can always incorporate a toy. There are devices you could put your penis in that gives the penis some firmness and helps you to penetrate, if that is what the person wants. Women, some women are satisfied with a dildo. They're satisfied with a vibrator. But what I normally tell persons who are experiencing these sort of things is get your partner involved. Again, comes back to the amount of stimulation that you get. And I cannot overemphasize how important stimulation is. And I'll tell you why. The more sexual experience you've had when you're younger, the greater amount of stimulation you need later on in life. So let's say, for example, from the age of 20 to 40, you had multiple partners, you experienced a lot of different things. You were in orgies, you were in threesomes, you were in everything imaginable. Once you cross that threshold of 40 and the body is no longer producing certain hormones or not releasing it anymore, what happens to you? The only other instrument you have for stimulation is the brain, the largest sex organ that we possess. And that sex organ needs to be stimulated by something. Visually, so you're watching porn all the time, but if you watch porn, let's say, once a week for 10 years, there's nothing in porn that's going to stimulate you. Because you've seen it all, you've experienced it all visually. So what else is there to see? There's nothing new in sex. It's just the dissemination of things that are sexual. You use different devices. Now we use a cell phone. We use devices to see sex. Long ago, you had to read books, magazines. TV show will have a little sexual scene. Now, TV shows are full-blown sex. So it's different. The stimulation that a person needs as they get older is greater. So now you are an older gentleman and your partner is the same person you've been with for a number of years. She must now be willing to do the things that are going to stimulate you sexually. And of course, she'll be stimulated by it. So the erection part of it is all dependent on the person's health, their stability mentally when it comes to things that are sexual, less financial stress, less home stress, being able to have a partner that you can communicate with. And one of the things, and we mentioned this today when we were talking, communication is good, but the most important thing in communication is comprehension, understanding what the person is trying to tell me. And at the same time, what I am telling that person, is he understanding what I am saying? And the next part of it is compromise. How much you're willing to compromise to get that person to be the way you want them to be, to get the stimulation that you need to enjoy your environment, enjoy each other, enjoy longevity when it comes to a relationship. Because I hate when a couple comes to me and say, he like my brother, you know. So are you committing incest? Your husband should never be like your brother. Your wife should never be like your sister. That's a no-no. Anytime you start saying that, you're not telling me that we understand each other perfectly, because there's no such thing. You're telling me there's a disconnect in the bedroom. Anytime a person says that my husband has become like my brother, there's a disconnect in the bedroom. And you need to start working on reconnecting. Because what happens? If you remember from the olden days, your mother will be sleeping, the grandmother will be sleeping in one room and the grandfather sleeping in another room. That's the disconnect. Now it happens to people. Husband sleeping in one room, wife sleeping in another room. And the excuse will be, well, the grandchildren is like to come and sleep with us. I tell you as it is. Young couples, if you have a child, don't let that child sleep with you. Don't give that child that habit. If that child have to sleep in the room with you, have a crib and have a curtain that you can put down to block off whatever you want to do. But as soon as that child is of age, put that child in another room. Now, sometimes you can't do it because of circumstances. But anytime you give that child the bad habit of sleeping between you, that's a wedge between you and your husband. That's a wedge between you and your wife. And what you have to do now, let's say, for example, when you first met your partner, you had a relationship where when you're having sex, you can verbalize, you can make noise, you can do, and that is what stimulates the guy. All of a sudden, you have a child. Child is 3 years old, and you have to have sex like this. Mouth zip. What happens? You're no longer stimulating your partner because he was accustomed to your stimulation by your voice. These are the things that has caused separation. You know? Persons do not understand when I say sex is the cement that binds your relationship. Why is sex the cement that binds your relationship? Because the things that you do sexually with your partner is what brings you closer. It is not the most important thing in a relationship. Don't get me wrong. There are many other factors that are important in a relationship. How you treat your partner, the things that you do, how you provide for your family, how you provide for your partner, understanding the person, appreciating the little things that are being done for you. Sometimes we as men, we take it for granted. Your wife goes to go to the hairdresser. She comes home and you even notice that she changed her hair color. The woman doesn't feel good about that. Sometimes she buys a new pair of shoes just because she likes shoes and you don't even appreciate it. Hey, instead of saying, hey, you're spending so much money behind shoes, say, hey, those shoes are nice on your feet. Encouragement. Those are the things that we need to do. So sometimes we have that disconnect. And when you have that disconnect, it leads to erectile dysfunction. I went on to plenty about that connection just for a little thing like erectile dysfunction. Erectile dysfunction is not a little thing.
Aaron from Pinal. My wife and I want to visit you to discuss our sex life. Do you have an office in South?
Yes, I have an office in South. I have one in Princeton, Davie, and of course, when I went South, some persons from Davie would even come to the Shagwana's branch. And yes, couples do come to me to discuss things. Sometimes a person have a challenge with their child. Under development of the penis, which is something that is happening en masse now. A lot of guys are not developing properly sexually. Girls are overdeveloping and guys are underdeveloping. So we have a challenge with that now. Girls 9 and 10 years old are having their period and guys 10 to 14 can't even get an erection. So you see what I'm talking about? Sometimes the parents would bring the child for me to talk to the child. Another challenge that a lot of parents are having is your child has exposed themselves through social media. Send a nude to a friend and all of a sudden everybody have the nude. So those are the things that a lot of couples face. But sometimes the couple themselves have a disconnect or they need to have a better understanding of something that they want to do or something that they feel like doing. And yes, you could come and sit down and chat about it. There's no big deal. I had a person come in today and person was telling me that they had a certain sex drive and a friend is telling this person that something wrong with you because you have a good sex drive. How could something be wrong with you if you have a good sex drive? Something is wrong with the person who is saying that because they may not have a good sex drive. So they are telling themselves that, hey, whatever it is, same age, same gender or whatever. If that person have a good sex drive, I don't have a good sex drive. Let me put the person down by saying, something wrong with you. But something is not wrong with the individual for having a good sex drive. A lot of couples, they think that their partner shouldn't have a good sex drive because they don't have a good one. So what do they accuse them of? All kind of things. Instead of trying to figure out, well, what is wrong with me and how can I fix what is wrong with me? And once you can have that discussion with your partner and you tell your partner that something is wrong and I want to get some sort of assistance or some sort of help for this, but I need your help. Isn't that a better thing to do? Next.
Well, my husband doesn't appreciate me at all. And he is always putting me down in front of his friends and family. I am fed up and I want to get out of this relationship. What can I do?
That sounds like frustration. If someone can say that, I want to get out of a relationship. Again, I always say, nobody gets married to get divorced. I've never heard a person sitting under the marrow in a church, a mosque, ask the pastor, the priest, or the imam, when are we going to get divorced? Nobody does that. It's what happens in the relationship as you go along. A relationship is a work in progress. Always remember that. Some people feel that boyfriend, girlfriend is the ultimate. Yes, I made it. I have a steady boyfriend. I have a steady girlfriend. Or we engage. You put a ring on my finger. That is it. Or we go to the priest. We go to the registrar general or wherever. And we get married. That is it. We don't married. That's the end of it. No, that's the beginning of it. You are now beginning your relationship. And you have to work on your relationship from now on. You have to work on it in such a way that the things that you put into the relationship builds the foundation. And that foundation, you're constantly building that foundation as you go along. I like to hear young persons talk about how their relationship's so great and it's, you know, they're feeling so good about it and everything is all dandy and is the best thing. But you have not experienced 5 years of being with a person. 10 years of being with a person. Because you have not put in the effort as yet to build that. Now, there are divorces. There are persons who have divorced. There are persons who have separated for many different reasons. And in retrospect, if they think about it, what caused the breakup in my relationship? Sometimes you are responsible for the breakup in your relationship. Sometimes there are external factors. But if you examine the external factors, why did those external factors influence my partner and me to break up? Could it be that I was not strong mentally? Could it be that I was not understanding my partner enough or understanding the needs of the relationship and putting in the ingredients to make the relationship stronger? So a relationship, because it's a work in progress, the longer you stay in the relationship, the stronger it becomes. But it should never reach the point where the person is just your brother or your sister. I just tell my children plain. I married 38 years. Last month was 38 years, yeah. And I tell them, I say, that's your mother, but that's my lover. Full stop. I can't look at her as anything else. Because the minute I start doing that is because I'm lessening her value to me. And a lot of time we lessen the value of our spouse to yourself. Because he or she don't know that you lessen the value. It happens in your head. So if you lessen the value of your spouse, think about it. You have a nice, when you first go and buy an iPhone or one of them fancy phones, and it is the best thing since sliced bread, you lie down with it, you put it under your pillow, the first thing you get up in there, you're looking at it and whatnot. After 2 weeks, what happens? And it's just an ordinary phone? It becomes an ordinary phone and you're thinking about the next model coming out.
What do you have to offer a couple in massages?
Massages, we can offer you many things. You can have a massage individually. You can have a forehand massage, meaning there are two masseuses, or a masseur and a masseuse massaging both partners and they're enjoying the experience. You can have one partner sit and look at the person getting a massage. You can have a male massaging a female massaging a male, and vice versa. There are many things that you can do. You see, a massage is something that relaxes the mind and body. It does relax the mind and the body. But if you go into a massage and only anticipating what's next, you cannot enjoy the massage. If you go into a massage and you're thinking about the end as opposed to the act that is taking place, you have to enjoy it from the, you're going to a fine restaurant and you're having a 6-course meal. It's a 6-course meal. You're studying dessert, you know. You're studying what you're having at that moment and how well and what it does to the palate. Right? So you have that, you enjoy it, you sit back and say, yes, I enjoy that. What's next?
Next part comes in, you enjoy it. That's what a massage is. The beginning, from beginning to end, you have to enjoy all the steps of it. But of course, the end result is dependent on the couple, what they want out of the massage.
Any assistance with anal sex?
Lots of assistance with anal sex. I remember the first time I spoke about anal sex 20 years ago. 20, 21 years ago. Persons weren't open to the idea. It was a new topic to be discussed on the radio. I remember Marcel Mahabir telling me he went to a cocktail party and everybody was talking about anal sex. Something that they never discussed before was suddenly a topic. It was a conversation piece when people had social gathering. And why? I didn't come out and say, well, everybody should be having anal sex. It's not for everybody. Anal sex is an adventure. It's adding something new and different to what you will call the norm. So, if you're going to go into something that is not the norm for you and your partner, shouldn't you know everything about it? Some persons, they are hung up about cleanliness. So they may need to learn about doing an enema before. Some persons, they hang up about the pain aspect of it. And it could be very painful if you don't know what you're doing. So there are things that you can use to lessen the pain factor. For example, the anal ease. The anal ease is the number one desensitizer of the anal sphincter muscle. But the anal sphincter muscle is not just one muscle, it's two muscles. You have the outer and the inner. The outer part of it relaxes easily. The inner part of it, there are challenges to that. So once you have used the desensitizing cream, you relax the muscle. But that's not the end. The next factor when it comes to anal sex is lubrication. The anus does not naturally lubricate like the vagina. So obviously, if the anus does not lubricate as easily as the vagina, you need to use something to help the anus to be lubricated. So you can use an anal lube, an anal cream. Don't use saliva. Saliva is not the ideal lubrication. Don't use a water-based lubrication, because if you use a water-based lubrication, the body absorbs it. And if you want to get drunk without drinking, pour alcohol in your rectum. You'll get drunk faster because it absorbs faster there. So it's the same concept when it comes to lubrication. If you use a water-based lubrication in the anus, it absorbs quickly and you lose the lubrication. So you need to use a silicone or anal lubrication. So those are the things that you have to look at. And the third and most important ingredient in anal intercourse is patience. If you're not patient with your partner, you can cause tearing, you can cause pain and suffering, you can cause the person to run away from you as opposed to be willing to go ahead with it.
So, last and final question. I enjoy a big penis. Anything wrong with me? No?
Absolutely not. Everyone has their preference when it comes to sex. Every person has their preference. Just as how a person would look at someone and say, she's slim and nice, eh? I like a woman like that. Next one would say, right, boy, she's a ticky, I like she. Next person would say, she's tall and long legs, I like that person. Everyone has a preference. If you enjoy having sex with someone with a big penis, that's what you enjoy. No one should be telling you that is wrong. Right? If it's causing you harm and you have to end up by the doctor, that's something different. If it's causing dissatisfaction, that is something different. So your mindset is an important tool when it comes to your sexual preferences and what you like. Everyone has a kink, you know. Every single person has a kink. Sometimes you know it. Sometimes you don't know it. Sometimes it will take your partner or the person that you're with to bring it out. What is my kink? What are the things that I like that society will consider to be deviant? And the minute you start thinking along that line of deviant and taboo, you already start getting excited. The words alone are exciting to you. But when you get into what is deviant and what is exciting and what is taboo, It might be many different things. There are women who like bondage and discipline, being tied up, being restrained. And there are women who like rape, play rape. I'm not talking about actual rape. They want to be raped by their partner, and they talk about it easily, and it's something that turns them on. There are women who like anal play. There are guys who like anal play, and it doesn't make a man gay to like anal play, because the anus is as sensitive as the vagina. As a matter of fact, there are more nerve endings in the anus than the vagina. But most persons, if they start getting feelings for those things, they immediately start thinking like how the ordinary man and woman would think, that something is wrong with me. Something is wrong with me to like certain things that are sexual. Some persons like food. Food turns them on. And they will incorporate food while having sex. Some persons cannot have sex without having an alcoholic beverage or marijuana. Those are your kinks. Those are things that you need to add to what is normal and natural with you and your partner. So when you examine yourself and you come to the realization that there are so many things that I like, and I am me, and these are the things that I like, therefore I have to have a partner who is willing to go the distance with all these different things. Now, let's say, for example, the person asks the question about liking a big penis and if anything wrong. Once you can get the person that you are attracted to, and the person have the size of tool that you want, nothing wrong. You go ahead, enjoy life. So that's it for questions. Okay. That's important. How many questions did we get this time? Plenty questions? Sorry. We got more questions now? Last time we only had 10. It's increasing. So for those of you who want to ask your questions, simply send in your questions to my WhatsApp, 7401961. Send in your questions via email, which is my full name, girirajramnanan@gmail.com. You can send it into the studio, 222-8255 or 612-8255. You can call them. You can call the program now. Ask your questions. Let us know what is stimuli. I see my brother in, where are you now? North Carolina, South Carolina, somewhere about the place. Checky, he's watching the program, right? That's the live. For those of you who are listening on the radio, you can go on my live, which is on Facebook, and look at it there. You will not see the angels. I know people are going on the program to see me, you know. But the angels say they want to be anonymous. Can't blame them. They don't want to be walking on the road and somebody say, "Hey angel, my wife waiting home, let me go." And those things do happen, I can tell you that. Those things do happen. It's in our society things. You know, we were having this conversation with a number of professionals in the Caribbean about Trinidad society. Why is Trinidad society so different? Because a lot of things that we let slide and we come to accept in other societies in the Caribbean, they don't, you know. For example, a person be gay. In Trinidad, I'm a gay partner, boy. And it's no big deal. In another country, they'll shun him. They'll attack him. And I'm talking about countries in the Caribbean. Our openness when it comes to interacting with someone sexually, we are much more liberal when it comes to those things in the Caribbean, in Trinidad, than anywhere else. And that's because of carnival and chutney. You go to a carnival, a fete, and you'll watch the type of dancing that people do. Those are the kind of dancing people get charged for in a dance hall. For lewd and lascivious dancing. Isn't that so? But you do it in a carnival fair. Because it's the norm for us to do those things. It's the norm of us to whine in a chutney dance or whatever. So it's easier for us to interact that way. But you know, we are sometimes so judgmental that we would look at somebody doing that in a wedding, a matikur or something. And no big deal. But the minute you see somebody doing that in a pub, you start putting labels on them. But isn't that the same thing that was happening in the matiko? Isn't that the same thing that was happening in the chutney show? Isn't that the same thing that was happening in carnival on the road? So how all of us are not bad? So we need to examine ourselves as a people when it comes to these little things and stop being judgmental. Because my philosophy is a person can do whatever they want as long as they're not forcing someone else to do it. As long as they're not trying to make it an agenda that I am trying to convert you or make you into this. Because we must have the freedom to think openly sexually. We must have the freedom to think that we are beings that have feelings, that are willing to transcend different boundaries, to enjoy ourselves. So there are some persons who like to go out every Friday evening, have a drink, lime, pick up a woman in a bar, look at nice girls somewhere, and that's all well and good. There are some persons who prefer not to do that and go somewhere else. Everyone has that choice. What you choose to do is entirely up to you and what is going to stimulate you and your mind. Many times you go to places and you see a lot of lovely women, and you know Trinidad have a lot of lovely women, and you're just happy to be there because of the energy. You're feeling the vibes from all these women that you're seeing. You're understanding that, hey, they're making me feel good, and I hope I'm making them feel good. They might give you a dance, but if you go and ask, sometimes we're not brave enough to go and ask for a dance, or brave enough to say, darling, I could buy you a drink. How are you going? You look so lovely this evening. Compliment the person and start the conversation. Are you conversing with me? Oh, they like what I say.
I totally agree with what you're saying, because your approach really determines how I would react to you as a female.
It's being brave enough to make that initial step, you know. I'll tell you something. I remember when I was a student, and all the guys would ask me, how do you get girls so easily? I say, I don't get girls easily. It's hard work. But what I do is, for any time I start speaking to someone, I'll tell them, here, what? Let me take sex off the table. Let's get to know one another. If that's going to happen, it will happen. Yes, you cannot stop what is going to happen. But how do you know what is going to happen with someone if you have not made that initial step to connect with the person?
Exactly.
Right. So the honesty comes in there. So once you have made that initial step, you see a lovely lady, darling, how are you going? Can I buy you a drink? And she twists up her mouth and say, here, what, darling? Are you trying to have sex with you? No, I just want to get to know you. It's so lovely. Right? But women don't make it easy for men, you know. Women don't make it easy for men. Because they may have their eyes on someone, but they're waiting to see the suffering man. They only give him a smile to let him know that it's okay to approach me. Isn't that so?
We don't want him to think that we're easy. He had to put in the work.
So somebody said, let the woman do the approaching, but very rare you find that. You do find women who will approach you and strike up a conversation because they find you interesting. Maybe because of your cologne, the clothes that you wear, the way you carry about yourself, your poise. And that's enough to attract someone. But how many brave women are there out there so that will approach you and say, hey, how are you going? I like that shirt you're wearing. They will not give you that opening. But once you could get a woman to smile, brother, take what I'm telling you. Anytime you could get a woman to smile, you have got your toe in the door. So I used to do all kind of dotish just to make women smile.
So you're the type of guy that would approach and make her laugh quicker.
Of course. I will do some foolishness to make the person feel comfortable enough to smile. Because if I do something that is foolish, not overly foolish that you laugh at me, but you do something foolish enough that the person smiles with you.
Yeah.
Or you... let me give you an example. You go up to a person, say, darling, you have your hand trembling, you know, girl, I know what to tell you. Wouldn't she smile?
Yes, of
Well, right. So you take in your nervousness and make it into something that is positive. That's what you're doing. You are definitely nervous, you know. But you're taking your nervousness to let the person understand that, hey, I'm approachable and I want to chat. So there are so many. I remember about 10 years ago, I was in Miami. And these guys were having classes on how to pick up women.
You're joking, right?
No. No, this is no joke. They do this professionally. They do this professionally. Let me tell you what they do. They have classes. Now, they were in a seminar at one of our exposition. So when I saw the name of the, I can't remember what it was called, and I'll remember maybe soon. I said, this thing sounds interesting. Maybe I should give this a try. Maybe I should go and listen to this lecture. And the guys are talking, and they're not talking down to anyone. They're talking to the audience. And they're trying to make guys feel comfortable and raise their self-esteem and their consciousness and things that are positive about themselves. And after the lecture, what they do is they'll take a group of individuals and go to pubs, go to restaurants with a little dance floor area and approach someone for the first time and teach them how to pick up women. And there are guys who pay money for that. But there's nothing wrong in learning from someone as long as they teach you the right thing. First of all, you want to be respectful. No woman wants you to come up and be insultive towards them or put them down for whatever. Like I said, everybody has a body type. So if you are charmed by the person's personality or their body size or whatever, that's what is charming to you. So what do you do now? You have a way or you find an opening to be able to converse with the person. And once you start that conversation with the individual, you are able to find common ground. Don't you? Isn't that a common thing that somebody will ask you, well, what sign are you?
Yes.
Right.
Today.
They ask you that for an opening. It's an opening. If you're observant, and this is where a lot of guys fail, if you are observant of a woman, you will see certain things that the woman is hiding or exposing. You will see that. But you have to pick up on it. You have to pick up on the body language of the person. Have you ever, well, you all are women. Most of the person here are women. Guys, take heed. When you strike up a conversation with a woman, at the beginning, she sits like that person over there, hands folded and away from you. That's how women are. Because I don't know you. What are you coming to tell me? And the minute you start being charming to the person and whatnot, this happens. And then suddenly it's this. And suddenly she hand on your knee. Because the level of comfort is breaking her barrier. You're breaking down the things that are causing. You're breaking down whatever is causing her to build that barrier or to put up that wall when you first approach. But do you break, well, like I say, when you want to catch fly, what do you use?
Honey.
Exactly. You don't put salt. So you are using your words and you're using your body language and you're using your charm, if you have any, because some guys don't have it at all, buddy.
Say that again, please.
Some guys don't have charm at all. They're too abrasive because they haven't learned that maybe in their household. They always see the woman as an authoritative figure as opposed to somebody I could communicate with. There are some guys who can't even speak to their sisters because they feel that I need to be macho all the time. But a woman doesn't want you to be macho all the time. And a woman wants to know that, hey, you are a man. You could handle yourself as a man, but there must be a certain level of vulnerability so that they could connect with you. They must see, because women are nurturing by nature. Whether you like it or not, a woman likes to nurture a man. They like to nurture someone. So when you understand these things, they become second nature to you to accept the nurturing, to accept that from the woman, because that's what the woman enjoys doing. So in a relationship that is built for a long period of time, your partner will tell you, I know you better than you know yourself. You know, better believe that is true. Eh? You better believe when a woman tells you that she knows you better than you know yourself, because she has been examining you all these years and she understands your like and dislikes, you know, better than you understand it. So that is why she could prepare a meal in such a way with that love and appreciation that when you taste it, it tastes mwah, because of that nurturing aspect of the woman. We as men, and I'm saying we, but I don't do it, but the majority of men don't understand that about women. They don't understand that when a woman prepare a meal for you, fix something for you to drink or eat, it's different from when you do it yourself, or it's different from when somebody else does it for you. And once you could taste that sweetness, you understand the love that is put into it, the nurturing of the woman that is put into it. But if you're not attuned to it, you feel like it's any ordinary cup of tea or there's any other cup of joy. Because your spirituality is not connected to that. You're not connected to that. You're not understanding what this person, whether it be somebody who you just met. And I remember last week I met someone. And for the time she touched my hand, I said, you're a very nurturing person. Because you felt it. You felt the warmth from the person. Now this person came in to train as a masseuse. So finally I said, give me your hand, and the person touched me. That's immediately I could tell her that. You're a very nurturing person. And after speaking with the person and getting to know the person, I realized how much of that sort of person she is. Now I didn't know that before. But a simple thing as a touch will tell you a lot. But if you're not attuned to a touch, you just feel it's a touch. It's just somebody touch me. You go shrug it off. You say, you feel good, boy. But feeling good is not the end game. The end game is understanding who have done it and what's behind it. How much of the person is placed into it. This is what I try to teach young men when they come and ask me. I don't carry on classes like those guys in Florida. But there are guys who do come to me and ask me, well, how do I know if this is the right person for me? You never know. Unless you have that intuition to say, well, you know, this person, that's the person for me. But not everyone has that. Not everyone can say that this connection that I have with this individual is so strong. It's binding. And it's something that I understand. And I have to get the person to understand that I understand it better than she understands it. Not everyone has that. So I always like to use myself as a reference. It's the first thing that I did when I saw my wife. She was a young girl going to high school. We both went to high school at the same time. We went to register to get into school. And from the time I saw her, I said, that's my wife. Immediately. It was not anything other than something struck me that this person is more than just an ordinary child sitting there. I was a child. She was a child. But immediately I said, that's my wife. But I couldn't say that's my wife when we get married. I had to work. I had to put in the effort. I had to make it work that this person becomes my wife.
Correct is right.
But
on her behalf.
So, even in any kind of relationship that you have, and let's not only go into the sexual part of it, but relationship on the whole. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you meet somebody and say, my blood, I take that person, you know. It's not your blood, I take the person, you know. There's no connection spiritually. That's what it is. There's not a spiritual connection. Your soul doesn't match with that person's soul for whatever reason. And a lot of people don't understand a spiritual connection. They think that two people meeting is by chance. There's no two persons who I've ever met by chance. It's always a design that you meet that person. When you meet that person, the interaction that you get from the person, what happens at that meeting, will determine whether you want to see that person again or if you never want to see that person again. And if you want to, again, well, now we are stalking law or something, but long ago, you see a girl and you're like, she's working in that store. You go in that store every day, though. You're buying nothing, but you're going in that store and you're walking around aimlessly. You're taking something down from the shelf. You're putting it back up. You're watching the price. The girl over there, know what? You're watching the price here. I'm like, yeah, well, she noticed it. And you leave it at store with a smile, you know. You're doing that because you are connecting with that person without the person knowing who the hell you are. You just see she needs showcase. I'm using a store because it's a common thing. So whether it be a fast food outlet, a coffee shop like over here, a lovely coffee shop, I must say, we have to let more people come to this coffee shop, you know.
Yes. It's lovely. I'm enjoying the atmosphere.
Yes. And not only that, the coffee is really good.
I'll have one shortly.
So no matter where you see that person, you want to go there and create that attraction and connect with the person. Eventually, the person say, you're always coming here and you're never buying anything. How come? Well, you are already coming to see. But how many of us are brave enough to say that? Are you brave enough to tell the person, well, really, you are coming to see them. You want to buy them. Right? But it's you I'm coming here to see. Because that will be charming enough for the person to understand that, hey, this person is attracted to me. So there are many aspects to that connectivity that you have with someone. I have seen person grow up together, don't realize they have a connection, drift apart. I have a very great example of that. I'm talking about one person went 3,000 miles away to live. And they knew each other in primary school. And now they're married for 39 years. Although they went to two separate countries, one remained here, the other one 3,000 miles away, there was always that connection. Always that connection. And what happens eventually? Eventually, the person will reconnect with you. The person will reconnect. And when they reconnect, what happens? Right? They will find a way to meet you. They will find a way to start developing a relationship. Because there was that connection initially, and now what we are going to do is bring it together. So that is what I talk about divine. If there is bad blood between you and the person when you first meet them, my blood will take the person. You are not going to even want to be in the same room with that person the next time. Because you're going to get that creepy feeling that I do not want to be here with this person. I don't like how she look. I don't like how she smell. I don't like how she dress. But it's not that, you know. There is a disconnect between you and the person and that spiritual connection. That chemistry. There's no longer chemistry. Once there's chemistry with someone, no matter how that bond breaks, there's going to be a reconnect somewhere in time. Somewhere in time, there's going to be a reconnect. It may not be the same intensity. It may not be a reconnect to move on together, but there's going to be a reconnect. And when you have that reconnect, the reconnect might be simply to say, you know, I miss you and I like you in my life. But it doesn't mean to say I have to see you every day. In your mind, you know that.
That is so true. I actually have a few friends that I stay connected with just because of the way in which we speak and communicate with each other. Sometimes you don't have that in a partner. Sometimes you're single. And those relationships that you hold on to over the years keeps you vibrant. Keeps you up, keeps you going, sometimes even keeps you motivated. So that connection, as you said, that divine connection, you met that person for a reason. It always comes back around. What God put together, no man would stop.
The super soul. We are all a divine spark of, whether we want to call him God or soul or whatever, we are all a divine spark. So we were all connected at one time, somewhere or the other. But your connection with someone is that it's not just the visual connection or the physical connection of being in the same place at the same time, you know. It is the soul connected also. So once you understand that part of it, there are many times you are in a relationship. That is why I tell people, when you are in a relationship and things are going asunder, what God put together, no man put asunder. When you are having those things, it's what is influencing you from the outside that are causing that. What have corrupted your mind that is causing that? Because that initial spark doesn't die, you know. It's always there. It's a connect that is always there. So you understand that charm, you understand that connection, but we can't live with one another anymore. So why do you have to live as enemies? You could separate, but you could still have feelings for the person. There are many times that you break off a relationship or you have gone separate ways for whatever reason. And you don't hate the person. But your friend might be pulling the thing in your head and you're bouncing the person in a fetal, you're bouncing the person in a bow or somewhere and you say, look at me, watch out, man. You enjoying your life. And no good so-and-so. And you allowing that to influence how you behave with the person. As opposed to, cool yourself. Let me just go and say hello to him. And you go and say hello and that's it.
Yeah, you could break up with somebody and you still have that, you know, that friendship, that connection still. You know, you still have that love for them. You don't love them, you know, but you still have that love for them. You still care for them. In that type of way.
Without being in love with them, you know. You don't have to be in love with the person. You could love the person. You could still love that. So a lot of times we think that if we love someone, we're still in love with, and the person might interpret it, oh, she's still in love with me. Look at she can't do it without me. But she's moving on. She has moved on. But she understands that, hey, I love the guy. I love him. But it doesn't mean to say we could be together. I don't want to be together. I don't want to live with him. I don't want to shack up. I don't want to have the same type of relationship. But I still love and care for the person. Loving and caring for someone is human nature. Being in love with someone is also human nature, but it's a stronger feeling, a much stronger feeling. So when you're in love with someone, there's so much you're willing to sacrifice and so much that you're willing to do to make it work. Right? When you love somebody, you don't have to see them for 10 years, but you know you still love the person. You see them, hey, look so and so, and you feel a little different inside.
Yeah.
And you move on.
I don't think all the men in Trinidad and Tobago are comfortable with that understanding as yet.
I've lost you guys. Dr. Raj, are you hearing me? Both mics are mute.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Hi.
Okay, we're back.
Got it. Yeah, so I have to say a special good evening to Cutie Pie. She was an angel on this program for many years, and she's somebody I love. And I could see Cutie Pie anytime. She's married now, but I could see her anywhere and say, I love you. It's no big deal. It doesn't interfere with my relationship with my wife. It doesn't interfere with anything. I love the girl because she was always part of my life and my business and being part of Sexplosion and even when I have my television show. So that's somebody you can't, that bond can't break. The person has moved on in their life. I continue to do what I'm doing, but at the same time, you still have that love for the person. My apologies for that. So she wasn't getting anything. Be observant, please.
Yes.
Don't look at me all the time, you know. Look at him. Don't look at the machine. So we have a lot of persons here looking on. And I'm glad that the master control was able to pick up on that. So developing that relationship understanding that a relationship is a work in progress and it's something that you always have to put the effort into. It's like an investment. If you open a bank account, well, forget bank account don't pay no interest. You have an investment and you put $1,000 in the investment and the investment is giving you a rate of return, 1%, 10%, whatever the percentage is. If you want that investment to grow, you got to contribute regularly to that investment. That is how finances work. That is how you build finances and you build wealth. You put in all the time. Otherwise, if you're depending on that little 1% to 10% for your money to grow, it's not going to grow by much. So you have to contribute all the time for it to go upwards. It's the very same thing with a relationship. You contribute to the relationship all the time. You put in something into it. It's like you're making a wonderful meal and you're adding your ingredients as you go along.
A nice Sunday lunch?
Yeah,
with some macaroni pie and some carrots.
You don't have to call it out, you know, because right now we're sitting down here doing a two-hour program and I didn't get something to eat before the program.
So I humbly apologize.
But of course, we know at the coffee shop you could get all kind of nice things to eat. Yes. Oh, I saw the menu when I was coming in there. I like
and
how they have the menu written out in front.
Smells delicious inside of here.
Yeah, what she said is that was some kind of chicken. What was the chicken you said? Pepper chicken. Right. So it had the pepper smell with the other aromas.
Lovely.
Well, I know for sure after this program we're going to have something to eat.
Of course.
Some of that pepper chicken.
Some of that pepper chicken.
So for those of you who ever want to join us in at our live programs, of course, you can always send in a message to us. You can always hit us on my WhatsApp. WhatsApp is the easiest way to get in touch with me. 7401961. Anyone who wants to get in touch with me, who wants to be part of our live audience, we wouldn't show you on, I know some persons like to be anonymous. They don't want anyone to see them. They don't even want anyone to hear them. Yeah, anyway. But you can be part of Doctor. I see you on this. Thank you very much. I have to take a look at I see my cousin is on. Alan, how are you? Chucky. I have to say a special good evening to some of these people here. Sally. Okay, I don't want to identify the person because some of them may not want to be identified. You know, once you deal with this topic of sex, it is such a taboo subject. I have been doing this for better part of close to 40 years of my life. And I find very few people who are persons who are comfortable enough to discuss things. Very few. Even internationally, they are much more open to you being a sexologist and a sex therapist. But the discussion of things are not, for some people, it's such a taboo subject. It's difficult for them to express themselves, to tell you things about themselves. They feel that you're analyzing them all the time. Of course, as a sexual anthropologist, a social anthropologist, we're always analyzing things. We look at a woman, we're analyzing she. We look at a couple, we're analyzing them. We look at things. I look at couples, the way they interact with one another, I don't analyze the whole situation. I walk in a room, I see people in the room, I say, she like that, he like that, and 90% of the times I'm right. Because you have trained your mind to see these things. Sometimes you don't want to be right. Sometimes you don't want to be right.
So true.
But you are right. Because of observation. And persons who have that, now, a question was posed to me by a bishop once, said, Dr. Raj, do you believe sex to be spiritual? And my immediate answer was, yes, sex is spiritual. And some persons want to say, well, how could sex be spiritual? Well, the only two things that create is God and sex. So obviously, sex is godly. And if you're involving God in something, you're involving spirituality. So if you think that anything below the navel is dirty, unclean, nasty, it's not godly, you're wrong. The entire human body, the entire body is a representation of God. we tend to say that we are built in his image. Right? No matter what religion you belong to, we are built in his or her image. So, if we are built in his or her image, how come there's no barrier from your navel go wrong? Like, you know, them cone they just put around the dog. Take the dog by the vet and they have to put a cone around them so they wouldn't scratch their ears and all that kind of thing. Why is there a cone around our stomach area from our navel go down? Because we are all part and parcel of that connection with the Lord. So if you are connected in that way, aren't you connected spiritually? So when you meet someone and there is a connection with the person, there's a spiritual connection with the person, you are actually doing what is natural. But we always take that out of the equation and we think that we are masters of our destiny. We always want to think that we are masters of our destiny and we know better. And I'll give you a good example of that. When was it? About 8 years ago? Maybe 8 years ago. I had plans to retire. I didn't want to be a sexologist anymore. I was going to tone down. I was going to retire and I was going to follow my favorite thing, which is cricket. I love cricket. I wanted to travel the world. I watched cricket all over and have a good time. And I got a call. Just when I was planning, we would like you to do a television show. I say, why? Because we think you're ideal for TV. So, went to the meeting, and they made me an offer which I couldn't refuse. And I went home to my wife, and I was smiling, and I said, you know, man does make plan, but God have a bigger plan for you.
That is the most correct statement.
He has a plan for you. You think that you have a plan? They say, when you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. Tell him your plan, and you say, okay, well, that's your plan, but this is really your plan. But I'm saying that to give myself at that time a better understanding of who I was. That when I started on the radio, because of my strong spiritual connection that I had with my guru, now I'm a practicing Hindu. I'm a Sanatana Hindu. I have a godfather, a guru. And him and I were very close. No, well, he died, so that's why I say we. We're still very close. And he used to listen to my program. And one day, went to visit him. We're sitting down, we're chatting and things. And he said, you know what you're doing? You're born to do that. I said, why you say that? He said, you're born to do that. It's because the things you're talking about, it's all in the... And he called the different books, what books it is and whatnot. And he said, I'm sure you never read those books. I said, no, I never read that. He said, but it's there. So he understood that immediately and he never... put me down for it. He never cried on it and he never said that what you're doing is wrong. He encouraged me. And people who were supposed to know me better were the ones who were shunning me and saying I bring in disrepute to the family name and all these things. And I was like, but I'm doing what I'm comfortable doing. I'm not going and hold up a store or rob a bank. I'm doing what I'm comfortable doing. And I have that information that I want to share. But I understood me, not fully. I wouldn't lie to you and say, well, I understood who I was fully. And I knew that, as a matter of fact, I'm still learning. How many years I'm doing this now? Close to 40 years. And I'm still learning. Because although there's nothing new in sex, there's so much information out there. And there's so much things that you need to connect with that you are constantly learning as you go along. You're learning how to take the information and pass it on to others. So whether a person is a client, a patient, a customer, or just a fan, you're always sharing that knowledge. Some persons will tell me, you know, you give out too much information on the radio. That is free information. People take it and do whatever they want. Fine. If you want to take the information I'm sharing with you, and make your life better, I'm happy for that. If you need help and you want to come and see me professionally, that's something different. I have an office. You make an appointment. You pay your fees. You come and see me. I deal with the issue. But if I can in tonight's program alone, this evening's program alone, if I can touch one person or one couple to understand that there's much more to your relationship than allowing it to disintegrate and destroy, and you could learn something from what I'm saying here tonight to come back together and make things stronger for you, have accomplished something. Because at the end of the day, that very same couple might tell it to another couple, might tell it to another couple. They'll pay it forward. And the root of it is that they heard it on Sexplosion. They heard it from Dr. Raj. And if they're honest enough, they'll say that. They will say, well, I got that information from Dr. Raj. I got that information from Sexplosion. The person say, what Sexplosion is all about? Well, it's a radio program on Power 102. But I don't get Power 102 anymore when I turn in the dial. No, it's digital. You have to connect through your cell phone. Everyone walks around with a cell phone now. I was talking to my previous co-host, which was Junior Saldana. Well, for Diwali, he normally comes and visits me at home. And he says he give radio another 5 years and it no longer exists. And it's kind of frightening for persons like myself who grew up in the 60s and the 70s and 80s, listening to radio, because radio was the number one form of entertainment. After that was television, and after television was the movie theater. And you're hearing that something that you revered will be destroyed soon. It will be destroyed. But radio as we know it will not exist maybe in 5 years or less. But radio will continue in a different format. Now, fortunately for us, relationships and whatnot, there's no different format to it. Eh? Although some person may think that they need a virtual doll and they can have a relationship with a doll. Another person will say, I have a dildo and I have a relationship with my dildo. That's not a relationship. That's a novelty. That is a apparatus or a gadget that is helping you to accomplish certain things. But it is not a relationship. A relationship is that bond that you have with the person that gives you that. The chemistry that you have goes back and forth. You're addicted to that chemistry. I know I am. I like it. I like the chemistry. I like the challenge. I like the feel that you get when you meet somebody for the first time and you're talking to them and you're excited about it. But I don't like using a text message to let somebody know that. And the reason for that is that you cannot express yourself with a text. Person cannot know what you're feeling inside here through a text. Good day all. Great job. Hope you can continue to enhance and open the minds of people in a positive way. As sex. So wait, I have to get up. Today I want to open my... Sex topic and issue is now only taboo for us, the mature audience. That's one of the challenges a lot of mature, and I use the word mature meaning persons who are older. Because they never had the opportunity to listen to a program like this when they were younger, a lot of things are bottled up inside individuals. Younger generation take it for granted that they could Google something and they get the information. Google is not always right. Correct information is not always out there. If you want truthful information, it has to be something that has been researched, something that has been developed over time. It is not just a person giving an opinion. There's a difference with giving an opinion and truthful information. That's why I could continue to say on the radio, on any radio program or television program, that if any information that I have given over the years, the last 20, going in 21 years now, is inaccurate, not truthful, come out and say it. And I come off the air, I'll never talk about it again. Because I have always maintained truthfulness with what I speak about. I've always maintained that when I am giving information, it's something that person could take to the bank. It's correct. They can tell their children about it and it's correct. They can use that information to better themselves. It's not false information. And I'll tell you one of the reasons I became a sexologist. When I was a young man, like every young man, I think, no, except those who are constantly on their phone and computers. I was curious. And I had questions that I wanted answered. Who would answer your question? Not your parents. You can't go to your parents and ask them certain things. So I was always the youngest. All my friends were much older than I was. And I said, let me ask them. But the answers they were giving me was not logical in my mind. Because I always like to think logical. And because it wasn't logical, but it was the best answer that they could give me, but at the same time, pumping up their ego and pumping up themselves, it was the only answer you could get. Until I started to read and explore and read and look for books and get information. And it made more sense, things that were written by professionals as opposed to that what was spoken to me by my friends, because they were telling me things based on their ego. And that's why I realized that there was not much truthful information outside. And that was the catalyst for me to start studying sex deeply. It was. I remember that distinctly. I'd now started high school and I wanted things answered. And the guys who I was asking, they were limited with their knowledge. And their information was only based on what was told to them and what they perceived to be certain things that will make them look good. So I decided to study sex as a sideline. It was a hobby. And in studying things sexual, it opened up my mind to more things and more things and more things. When I went to study at university, I couldn't tell my parents I wanted to study sex also. But I had the wonderful opportunity that one of my first classes was a class called Human Sexuality. And I took the class. And when I took the class, I realized, yes, there's more information out there that I don't even know about. Practical information, theoretical information. So in my quest to learn, I pursue both to learn. And although I have gone through that for so many years, and I've been studying this for close to 50 years. Probably wondering how old I am.
I ain't given some hints.
You want to work it out? I realized that there was so much more information, and I realized that today, that there's so much more information out there that you need to do the research, you need to find out. A lot of people don't do research anymore. As I say, they'll go on Google and what Google say, that's it. But Google is not the truth. The truth is out there. You have to find the truth. And you have to find the truth that is best applicable to you. Based on your religious upbringing, your social, your environmental, your mental capacity. Not everybody has the same mental capacity. Doesn't mean to say everybody mad. But your mental capacity, how you understand things and how you comprehend what is being said, everybody is different. And we have to understand that. So if I'm talking about one thing here and all the persons who are here now, everybody will see it a little differently based on their capacity to understand. It doesn't mean to say one is more right than the other.
I have a simple statement just to add.
Go ahead.
Know who you are before you choose your partner. I believe we had a small conversation previously amongst ourselves where we say knowing who you are and your personality and your preferences is really important when it comes to choosing a partner.
Yes, because you want to choose a partner that is going to enhance who you are. You know, we commonly say, if you're introducing your wife or women don't say it. I never hear women say that. Meet my better half. Why? Why are women so bad?
Because we are usually the better half. Am I lying?
No, but if you think about it, if you are my better half, right? I didn't say the best half, a better half. The woman, she said, look, my best half. Why do you want to say that point?
Well, well,
because just as how you compliment me, I should like to feel or fool myself into thinking I compliment you.
That's the way it should be.
So why don't women say, meet my better half or my best half? Or my good half? Drop it on.
We'll take good it. We'll live at good. We'll live at good. Good seems nice.
It's not in women's nature to give us that kudos, eh? No, it's not.
We all have our egos.
Yeah, by nature, women are not the type to pump you up in that way and say, yes, meet my better half. Meet a hobby.
Meet a hobby.
And a hobby could be things that you like to do. Eh? Not H-U-B-B-Y, H-O-B-B-Y.
Yeah. Hobby.
Unfortunately, I think very commonplace in our younger people generation, the younger ones are very comfortable and open about this. Yes, they are, but it doesn't mean to say they understand it. Not because you're comfortable. I got an echo. You need to mute your mic. Not because you're comfortable about something means to say you understand it. You have a good understanding of it. Open-mindedness is a stepping stone to understanding information. Because once you have that open mind about things, you are more accepting and receptive of things. But it doesn't mean to say you're going to agree with everything. I don't want every person who is listening to me tonight, this evening, to agree with what I'm saying. I want them to think. And if when in your thinking about the things that I've said, you could come up with the opinion, you know, not too bad, you know, that you're making sense. You're making sense. I like him, you know, but you're making sense. Because a lot of people don't like you for many different reasons. But if what you're saying makes sense, then it helps you now to understand things differently and you become more accepting of things. So you are a person now who are going to direct your energies towards those things. Sex is an education that is ongoing. Because as you age, every decade of your life, every decade of your life brings about a different understanding and different way you participate in sex. Every decade. So from 20 to 30, you do it a particular way. And it stimulates you in that particular way. From 30 to 40, it changes. It's like this. When people age, ask any person this. And I'm going to use the word old people because I'm going to offend myself here. When you hit 40, you feel aches and pains that you never felt in your life. But that's a good one, you know. Wait till you reach 50. As that clock hit midnight of your birthday, you start to feel a different kind of pain. Things that you never imagine will hurt you, hurting you now. And as you reach 55 and 60, same thing happen. So every portion of your life, there are changes that takes place with you mentally, physically, emotionally. There are changes. There are changes that takes place in you sexually. So you must be able to understand these changes and cope with it and move with the times and understand that these are natural progression in life and these are things that I need to understand. These are things that I need to embrace. And these are things that I need to make my life better. You think a man who's 55 years of age with a backache, he going to get rid of that backache as he gets older? It's going to get worse. It is going to get worse. It's not going to get better. You think a woman who could kneel down and scrub the floor or work in the kitchen and she by the kitchen stand up by a stove all the time and it's okay, she'll be able to do that 10 years down the line. It's going to hurt. It's going to change. It's the same thing with things that are sexual. The position that you like, the good thing look back, the rose fall or whatever. It's going to change. Somebody choke in the back there.
I'm going to make you choke.
Be careful.
The position that you enjoy at a particular time in your life, you may not be able to do it later on.
I have a question.
Yes.
What is it going to look back? I don't know.
Well, that's very good. The goatee look back is what we call doggy style.
Okay.
In Trinidad parlance, it's called goatee look back. What's the rose fall? Get a Maggie pack. That's the woman. No, it's good questions. I am glad you're asking the question. The what we call a rose fall is a woman buttocks elevated with a pillow and the two knees on the side here. That's what's a Maggie pack? The chicken with the two legs back. That's what the whites call a rose fall. So sometimes you hear a name of a position and you think that it is something new, but it's not a new thing. It's something that you're doing, but you didn't put a name to it. Suddenly there's a name to it. Like there's a position in the Kama Sutra called the creeping vine. So you say, what the hell is a creeping vine, boy? It is a position that you do standing where the woman locks her leg on the man buttocks and the man locks his leg on the woman buttocks. It's called the creeping vine. It's like, you know when a vine going up something, how it is look? It's that. But not all of us could do it. And as you get older, you wouldn't be able to do it. And as you get older, arthritis set in, back pain set in, you think you could do the rose fall anymore? No.
We can
you
try. See,
you can try. The goody look back. When your knees start to hurt you, you're looking back and you said, oh God, you're finishing yet? So these are the things that you have to embrace. And these are the things that are going to change as you get older. But if you don't understand that, you'll think that I am 23 years old and I enjoy this position and I'm going to enjoy it all my life. No, you're not going to enjoy it all of your life. You are not. It's the same thing when you start, you have diabetes type 2. Most men, that's the number one disease in the world, especially in Trinidad. Most men have diabetes. But diabetes is not a death sentence. So you learn to control diabetes. You learn to control your sex life based on diabetes. But if you don't control the diabetes, what is going to happen to you? You are going to have problems sexually later on. And the worse that the diabetes become, and you go from stage type 2 to type 1, you have serious problems. So some men retire and they say, okay, see me, I have diabetes. I'm going to eat and drink whatever I want. Me, I care about my wife. Me, I care about nobody. I go and sit down in rum shop and I drink in rum whole day. I have nothing. Diabetes go kill me. But the woman suffer at home. And if she find an ex-partner to have sex with, you're vexed. You want to chop up the woman, you want to be the woman. But you caused it, you know. You're pushing the woman away from you because you're not taking care of yourself. You don't have enough respect for your partner to say, okay, here what? I have something that, whether it be hereditary or otherwise, high cholesterol. Once you have high cholesterol, your testosterone lower. Most men in Trinidad start off with low testosterone. Most men, because you know why? The type of life we live in Trinidad. We burn the candles at both ends, especially around Christmas and Carnival time. And sometimes we burn it in the middle too. So we get very little time to rest. We live in a petrochemical country. Everything is pollutant in the air. There are some parts of Trinidad, if you stand up long enough, you could get COPD. Because of the amount of chemical in the air. There are some places, if you live in Trinidad, the amount of chemicals it have there, it's going to affect you sexually. So what you're going to do, just say, okay, I'm going to give up and die? No. You do things that are in small proportions that are going to make your life bearable and not have your partner suffer. It's the reverse with some women. There are some women, right? You leave them home in curlers and a duster and you come back home and meet them the same way. You're going to be turned on by that woman? How are you going to be turned on by her? You know she dusting whole day or cleaning whole day or sit down watching TV whole day. She obeyed for the day. You going to be charming with her? You're afraid to kiss him out. That's the reality of it. I speak practically when I give lectures and people are calling. invite me to come and do lectures and talk to church group and different things. I speak plainly because this is the reality of it. But the only way you can get people to shake up is by telling them the truth, you know. Because they might want to laugh and think about it, but inside them say, oh, you know, I just leave home, boy. Oh, you know that. But I don't know your personal life. I understand that these are normal human behavior. So if you are, we have a new thing with lockdown. Yes, Angela, I try to encourage persons to be sexologists. As a matter of fact, I gave out many scholarships for individuals to go and learn to be sexologists, and nobody take me up on it. Persons who I gave scholarship to, who I assisted, I remember one young lady, she was a co-host of mine on, I think maybe 15 years ago. She went to Australia to study to be a sexologist. Never heard from her again. And 3 or 4 years later, she walks into my office and says, yeah, how are you doing, Dr. Raj? I said, yeah, all right. No, I was Dr. Raj after, yeah. I could park my car, you just break down all the road. I say, aren't you the person who went to Australia to study? Yeah. I said, what happened? She said, I couldn't take it. But you couldn't tell me something? I said, how long are you back in Trinidad? 10 years now? But these are the things that happen. I know I can't force you to learn. Persons who want to be sexologists will come and say, Dr. Raj, I want to be your understudy. But they want the benefits of being a sexologist before they learn to be a sexologist. They want to witness something sexual without understanding what it is to witness it. Everybody wants fast food. They want fast education and they want fast things. They want to fast track everything without going through the grind of it. I didn't become a sexologist overnight, you know. It took me almost 20 something years of my life studying, doing research, working towards my different degrees to be who I am today. And I'm still learning. Yes, you get the rewards of it. Yes, you get a better understanding of yourself. And yes, you have a better relationship with the people around you, your family, your wife, your children, everything. It is a holistic way. Because sexology is a study of society. It's an anthropological study, but from a sexual point of view. You understand if somebody's bisexual and you understand to leave them alone with their sexuality. You understand if somebody's gay and to leave them alone. Because that is part and parcel of life and how they develop. You understand that and you can't point fingers and say he like this and she like that and that one dirty and that one clean and that one going to God. And how the hell we know who going to God? Do you know? You can't know that. It's only God will know that. So you can't be judgmental on people and you cannot tell yourself that, hey, I know better than everyone else. You cannot do that. So, when you decide to study sexology and become a sex therapist and whatnot, you understand things differently. But you have to have an open mind to begin with. You can't tell yourself, I go and study sexology to have an open mind, you know. It's not going to open your mind. Because you're going to go into it with a closed mind. So how it's going to open your mind?
Dr.
Yes, Master
Raj?
Control. Yes,
no,
sir.
We are at that time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for who tuned in. Those of you on my live, those of you who have tuned in to Power 102 FM Digital. Angel, say your goodbyes.
Thank you for having us.
And you all have a blessed afternoon.
Yes.
Thank you. It was a wonderful program. Very interesting.
Thank you.
Now a Sexplosion with Dr. Raj and the Angels right here at Power 102 Digital. Dr. Raj will be back next Friday, right here, same time.
Dr. Raj is back on Power 102 Digital.
Sexplosion.
Yes, Sexplosion is back every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Join Dr. Raj as he explores the issues related to sexual intimacy and sexuality.
Hi, this is Dr. Raj. I am back on Power 102 with Sexplosion.
Join us. Sexplosion with Dr. Raj is back.
4 to 6 every Friday and only on Power 102 Digital.